Thank you for your participation. I'd like to start with introductions. Start with Jonathan. Can you start?
Jonathan Tunan, South Kitsap.
David Vliet, North Kitsap.
Adrian Hampton, Central Kitsap.
Alan Beam, Central Kitsap.
Good evening, Richard Chaddock, Central Kitsap.
Tammy Bowen, North Kitsap.
This meeting is a hybrid meeting, and the very as set of protocols. Please silence all your electronic devices during the meeting. If you're attending in person, please refrain from conversations with other attendees or staff during the meeting. If you wish to provide general public comments or testify on the public hearing, there are four methods available. First is for people attending in person, please sign up at the back of the room on the sign-up sheet. Second, for virtual attendees, raise your hand at the appropriate time using the raise your hand button at the bottom of the Zoom screen window. Your name will be called and your microphone will be unmuted. Third, call-in and attendees can signal by pressing *9 on the keyboard. Your last four digits of your telephone number will be shown and you will be connected. You may then dial 6 to unmute your phone, *6. Fourth, written comments. Testimony can be submitted to the staff, emailed to A. Watson, not really, to C. Jewell at kitsap.gov by 2 p.m. of the day prior to the meeting. Please include the date of the meeting the comments are meant for, your name, agenda item, and subject you want to address. Submitted comments will be entered into the record at the appropriate time. For all speakers, please state your name and the general area where you live. Comments are normally limited to 2 minutes, but that's subject to discretion. First item of business is the adoption of the agenda.
I move we adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Agenda is adopted. Next item of business is the adoption of the minutes. We have one set of minutes today, and that was from the last meeting.
I move we adopt the minutes as presented by staff.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That brings us to the general public comments first period. I see Mr. Palmer has got his hand raised. Can we bring him in? Mr. Palmer? Can't hear you. Hello, Mr. Palmer. Nothing heard. Do we have any other comments from anybody else?
Yeah, it looks like we're not able to hear you, Mr. Palmer. Can you try to turn on your computer audio?
Very weak. Can't hear you.
Yeah, our volume is fully turned up.
I'm sorry, Mr. Palmer, we can't hear you. The with no further comments, we'll close the opening general comment period. That brings us to the staff briefing.
Check. Hello, everyone. My name is Heather Cleveland. I am a long-range planner with the Department of Community Development in long-range planning, and I joined Kitsap County in June of 2024 from the state of Wisconsin. And today I'm going to present to you our Year of the Rural project. Okay, our agenda, the topics that we're going to cover for today is the, with respect to the 2025 Year of the Rural Project, is the Growth Management Act. This is information taken from the presentation that was given for the comp plan in 2024, which is an important component to recognize as part of this effort. Rural Kitsap, we just have some baseline data that we're, this is very basic information, the groundwork of kicking off this project. The scope of work, timeline, and roles, deliverables, approach, and outcomes, and then finally, community engagement, which is a very important part of this project, which we have already kicked off this month. Okay, so the 2024, so rural baseline data, this is just the beginning of what we're starting to look at, and you know, initially we're going to have inventories of the rural lands, the resource lands, but this is a slide about the population. So this shows the population in unincorporated rural, incorporated city, and unincorporated UGA. So the unincorporated UGA is the population that is noteworthy on this slide, and it's just something to consider in looking at our projection for growth is just over 4,000 as part of our projection in the 2024 comp plan. And so in working on the 2024 comp plan, which we'll touch on in a bit, the focus was on urban. And so that's part of the reason why we're shifting to rural this year. And we'll talk about that more in a second. Some additional baseline data. Again, there's much data that we can look at. And so we will have our baseline and start to look at what are we seeing here? What are the trends? What are the interesting things? And in parallel, as we're looking at the rural baseline data, We're hearing from the community, we're conducting interviews, and we're working to identify where do we want to look closer and how do we want to analyze this data. I thought this one was interesting in that it shows single-family residence uses are 80% of the total tax parcels and 78% of rural acres. Now, I'm not drawing any conclusions from this at this point, but it's interesting. And we're going to continue to look at a significant amount of data to figure out, okay, what are some bright spots in here that we need to dial in on. Another noteworthy piece of data just from this slide is mobile home real property. That's the second highest that you see on the slide in total count and acres. So the Growth Management Act, core concepts. So three main types of land, so urban, rural, and resource. Urban is growth focused and dense with dense housing, shopping, and jobs. So this was the significant amount of work and the focus that was done in the recently adopted 2024 comp plan. The next two is rural and resource. So rural is protected from growth and large properties, rural jobs, and limited commercial. Resource is protected from all development. It includes timber, agriculture, and mining. Urban services include sewer, sidewalks, multifamily housing, and limited to urban boundaries, also known as UGAs, urban growth areas. And generally prohibited, these urban services are generally prohibited in rural and resource lands, for example, sewer. A little bit about Kitsap County's history. So many small lots, less than 5 acres, in rural areas, including dense housing developments, urban sprawl, also known as urban sprawl. lower density development in urban areas without access to urban services, such as sewer, heavily subdivided shorelines, undesignated resource lands, strong public interest in maintaining these historic development patterns, and we are hearing this today, and then invalid plans, three different plans in the 1990s. So I think what's important to take away from this is the Growth Management Act was passed in the 1990s, and significant development happened before that occurred. So at times when we're looking at this, it doesn't match up, but things happen beforehand, and we have to move forward with what the Growth Management Act asks of us. So today in Kitsap County, urban areas, cities, city adjacent, Silverdale and Kingston are the urban areas. Generally, 5 homes per acre minimum development, and predominantly single family development. Rural areas, 5, 10, and 20 acre property sizes, and then limited existing denser communities such as Manchester, Suquamish, Keyport, and rural job areas. And then resource lands, time limited to state lands, no commercial agriculture, and mining limited to existing gravel and other pits. It's also significant to note with the Growth Management Act, our previous and current plans. So shown up here is the August 2012. And this is important to note because that was the last time that the rural and lease resource lands chapter was separate. In 2016, it was combined into the land use chapter, and that's how it is today in the 2024 chapter. So we'll be looking at each of those and recognizing some of the work that was done in 2024 with respect to goals and policies in the urban area, and how can we make sure that the growth in the urban area is where it needs to be versus in the rural areas. So the groundwork for this project beginning. So a year of the rural project charter was created. So throughout my time here with the comprehensive plan, from the time I started, rural was already deferred. I think it wasn't getting the attention that it needed. And so those comments that were made about rural or agriculture or what have you was all deferred. So in hindsight, I remember saying to my supervisor, Colin, I wish we had had a hashtag for every time rural was said so I could compile and aggregate that, and that's what we're working to address in the rural and resource lands chapter in 2025. So a year of the rural project charter was created to lay out the scope and the timeline and the deliverables. A community engagement plan was created, and that's now been published on the website. Presentation to the Board of County Commissioners first occurred in December of 2024, so December 23rd, 2024. It was also part of our docket for 2025. And then also today is communicating with you all, the Planning Commission, about the project scope and timeline and deliverables. So I learned recently that a question that we like to answer here, which I agree with, is what is the problem we are trying to solve? So I think right now this is a very broad problem, but it's going to become more and more granular, and that's my job to really hone in on what are the bright spots here that we will begin to answer. But at the higher level right now, we're giving the rural and resource lands the attention and energy that it needs. It hasn't had this type of focus. The year of the rural that occurred previously, that's why it's called that, we've carried that over. That's when the Ag Code was initially written and adopted, and that was in 2012. There hasn't been that kind of attention since then, and so we are giving the attention that it deserves with a focus on an update of the rural and resource lands chapter. And not only listening to the community, but doing a gap analysis, doing research, and connecting all those dots to propose a separate, focused, updated chapter. As we get closer in, we're going to have problem statements, for example, from the agricultural community. I'm working with them, and I'll touch on that in just a moment. Sorry, I got to grab some water. I'm working with the agricultural community to better understand what their problem is that they're trying to solve, and same with the other concerns that we hear. We are going to work to identify that as we move forward in this project. So the scope of work, vision and rural character assessment. So that's a big part of this, is what's the vision for rural Kitsap? What does that look like? Because when we start with that, we can align our recommendations to match that. We created a survey and sent that out to folks, and we've also connected with the county commissioners to receive their input on that. So we're working to come together. What is our vision for rural Kitsap, and then how do we define rural character? I also say that there is it's also defined by RCW what rural character is, so we're acknowledging that as well, while taking that input from the community and from the commissioners and bringing that together as our guide. A gap analysis will also be done, so have different state laws passed that we need to update. What the work that we do has case law passed, and so we'll be doing a gap analysis. For example, an example of a gap analysis is there's been updated DNR maps for resource overlay for mineral resources. So how do those compare with our mineral resource overlays? So things like that. That's the type of gap analysis work that we're going to be doing to ensure that we're up to date. Rural and resource lands use analysis. So, for example, we'll start with that baseline. What does this look like? And then we'll kind of start to peel the onion back and look deeper and deeper into a variety of topics, such as rural wooded, rural protection. How much of that do we have? How is it being utilized? Those are just some employment, population, and then doing a variety of scenarios of potential growth in as it exists. What is the land capacity analysis in the rural area today? And again, looking at a variety of different scenarios. So those rural and resource lands use analysis, we'll start to do that baseline and then start to look at a variety of changes or options, or what does that look like. There's three focus areas that were lifted up as part of this project. So rural land use, and then the three topics underneath that: agricultural policy and code. So that's something that we're working on specifically. Energy siting, so that's something that came directly from the commissioners, and that's something I've also heard in current planning, that this is a topic that has come up, and it's something that we need to be proactively talking about and addressing. And then finally, open space law. Again, this was another comment that came up, and as far as when it comes to rural and resource lands, I saw this as an opportunity to ensure that preservation was a part of that conversation. Rural economy, so childcare is another topic that was brought up, and then specifically with rural in-home daycare. So this is a topic that has been researched with the policy analysts that work alongside the commissioners, and so I think they ran into regulatory potential solutions, so that's where it's going to cross over and something that we're going to assess and look at with respect to rural in-home daycares. Agricultural, rural events, and businesses. So again, this relates to ag policy and code, but this is more about the business side of it and agritourism. It's a big topic throughout the state. There's an active study going on right now at the state level, but this is also a topic across the country. And then finally, rural housing was another topic that was lifted up. So mobile and manufactured home parks is something that we'll be looking into. As you saw earlier, it's the second most housing type, and so we're going to work to understand what the issue is and then what our current regulations are, and work to see if anything needs to be recommended to change. So the rural and resource lands chapter is part of the comprehensive plan, and along with that includes goals, policies, and strategies. So those will be updated, and then an ordinance will be drafted. We're working towards adoption in 2025, and then finally, an important part of this is an implementation plan. So once this is created, how do we ensure that it is implemented? Some additional items that are part of our work that I thought it was important to note is reclassification requests. There was 18 requests that were shifted, rural to rural requests that were deferred, and so that will be part of our process. And because we're not only looking at the site-specific aspect of it, but looking at it into it as a whole, similar to how it was with the 2024 comprehensive plan. So we'll be looking at those alongside doing our land use analysis and making our recommendations of those side by side. the potential code updates, so we can't say what's going to happen, but if that is something that we're looking to, a barrier that we identify, that we would make a recommendation to move forward with that, that is something that we're going to be looking at. Another scope of work item is an updated Agriculture Advisory Council proposal. So this is something that was worked on in 2023 and 2024. It didn't cross the finish line, and so I think partly because the rural and resource chapter work definitely was going to be engaging the agriculture community. It was an opportunity to then, rather than this moving forward, to form an agricultural working group who I've met with several times. And then one of the deliverables from that is that Agriculture Advisory Council proposal. And I think an important part is what's feasible with that. What are the barriers to making that happen, and is it possible? And I will say, too, a lot of work has already been done on that with respect to looking at what other counties have done. So what are those missing pieces to potentially help move that forward? Administration is another scope of work that shouldn't be underestimated. And then also outreach is a big component of this project. The timeline, I'd mentioned December of 2024, and then January 2025, the project kicked off. One of our first big milestone is a 30% draft in June of this year. So we'll be doing a presentation to the Planning Commission and the commissioners. And that's our basic outline and direction of what this will look like. So I think another important approach to this is note is iterative updates, where there's these opportunities to see the direction that we're going, to make comments. Are we missing anything? Are we off on something? So that first opportunity will be in June of 2025. September, tentative recommendations to the Planning Commission, especially as it relates to the reclassification requests. We just place that up there in case we need to get ahead of that a little bit. We're not sure just yet. September of 2025, another big milestone, that's the 60%. So that the month of September is the opportunity for public comment. And that will be presenting to you. There will be, presenting to the Planning Commission and the Board of County Commissioners officially. And then, again, like I said, receiving those public comments on that draft. And I say 60% because it's fairly big, but there's those opportunities to get to receive that feedback, similar to how we did recently with the 2024 Comprehensive Plan update. November of 2025 is a 90%, so that between those two milestones, we'll be taking in all of that and having discussions with y'all and working towards that findings of fact, where you see the comments, you hone in on topics. You're like, I would like more information on this, and that's where we do our work and make recommendation. And this is an iterative process between our staff and the Planning Commission. So once that's finalized and we've left opportunities for several meetings. It could be finished in one meeting. It could take several meetings for us to finish that. So there's some room within that. And then at that time, too, there'll be a public opportunity for public hearing. And that way, too, as you're seeing these drafts, you're hearing from the community, and that supports the feedback that you give to us. And then December 2025 is when we are looking to have the adoption of the Rural and Resource Lands chapter, which code updates could go along with that, and then rural reclassifications could also be a part of that, similarly to how the 2024 comp plan was adopted. So the roles, we have project director, Scott Diener, project manager, Colin Poff, project administrator and lead, myself, and then several topic leads, including Jim Rogers. Our group long-range planning is in the process of hiring another planner, which will be really great. And then also Kirby, she will be assisting us with some of the environmental aspects of this. And then also Cindy Reed will be doing any sort of mapping and data analysis as part of our team. The deliverables for this project include a rural and resource lands chapter update, rural land use reclassifications, and then, if applicable, rural code updates. Our approach, community engagement, is a big part of this. I will say with our survey right now, we've received over 600 responses to our survey, which is just really wonderful. Another part of our approach is a gap analysis, land use analysis, review, and research, so going around iteratively on that. We're also forming an internal review team, and so that will include representation from a variety of departments throughout Kitsap County, including Public Works, including Environmental Management, Parks. We will organize three times throughout this project, so February, June, and then again in September. And that won't be the only times, but that's to establish here's our project and our scope. Do you have anything you want to make sure that we know about? And then if we need to have separate meetings or we simply need a point of contact for any questions, we're establishing that relationship. And then again, iterative updates is an important part of this. Several of our outcomes, consistency with the Growth Management Act, consistent with PSRC Vision 2050 and KRCC CPP, planning policies, user-friendly comprehensive chapter, it's really important, planning goals that are aspirational and fiscally responsible. Again, I think that's a really important statement to me because these have to be implementable. Can we do this? Some of them can be aspirational, and that's the longer-term part of this, but are there things, can we make sure that there are things that we can do in the short term? Policy direction that preserves and enhances rural character. And then used in project level guidance is another important component to keep in mind when we're creating this. For community engagement, this is part of our community engagement plan. It includes a website. So it was created in January and will be updated regularly. We're working to have more information on it. And as the project evolves, we'll most likely have a couple different sections focusing in on these couple different areas. For example, the agricultural part will most likely have its own a bit of focus. A survey was created in January and was published on February 1st and is going strong. Interviews will be conducted through March. So there are those specific topics. I'm reaching out to local experts, local groups, having conversations. Forest management is an example of one of those topics where I'm reaching out and having those conversations. Another great thing about this too, and I have this in a moment, but we're reviewing the comments from the 2024 comp plan process along with the draft EIS process as a starting point because, and you know, I was only going to look at August 30th draft, and then I was quickly told, like, what about all of our comments from earlier? Totally get it. It's a lot of work, but I understand. Because some folks, especially when it was brought to my attention, especially when it came to rural, once they were told rural was deferred, they didn't give any more comments. So looking at those earlier comments was brought to my attention. That was really important. So we're now going to include that. But what I want to say with respect to the interviews is I'm following up with some of those folks who gave great information, cited some great things, and saying, hey, could I have a conversation with you to talk about XYZ or ABC that you mentioned in your comments? I mentioned already the internal review team meetings, presentations. So we're offering to give presentations, for example, to the community advisory councils and other smaller groups to make sure that we're getting the word out and that folks know what's happening. And there's several other groups that I think once folks hear more about it and say, hey, would you come in and present to my group? And we're open to that. I will also say that we reached out to a good number of groups, but I think it's that relationship building that's important and will take some time. Two virtual open houses. So our first one actually will be in March. It'll be March 4th, and it will be in person and virtual. And this is what we're calling our project kickoff meeting. It'll again give the overview it, and then we're going to do workshop exercise about the visioning and perhaps pull some of the information that we've already received in the surveys and start to lean into it a little bit and get some feedback from the community. And then we'll also have another open house engagement in September during that public comment period. Again, I mentioned the public comment period, and then there's opportunities for board testimony in November during the 90%. And then we'll also provide updates and information through the newsletters and Gov delivery. So those will be ongoing. We still have our comprehensive plan list, which has thousands. So they've received it initially. And then also we're creating a separate special year of the rural that people can sign up for, and those will be more focused topics and discussions. And then finally, majority of the outreach will occur, I just want to note, January through March, and then again in September, but there will be those specific conversations along the way in between. So engagement to date, I had mentioned our ad hoc agricultural working group, so that kicked off in January. We've now completed three of our meetings, and we're moving along. We have a steering committee that represents a variety of different networks, and we're working towards lifting up their priorities, and then they will help us reach out to their networks around those specific topics once we're ready. We're now, after our meeting today, we're looking, that will probably be in April or May. I already mentioned reviewing the rural comments. So we will work to compile those, and they're already, all of the comments are publicly available, which is excellent. And so now it's pulling out those rural ones so folks know that our starting point for this, and it's an exercise that we're working on. It will be published on the website. I already mentioned the survey. I already also mentioned the state agritourism study. So anytime something's being done at the same time, I don't want to duplicate it. So we are participating actively in it. I just recently last week participated. They had a peninsula specific. I was the only regulatory person on the call, so that was very interesting and good. It was good to hear it. But they're also going to have a separate meeting with all regulatory folks throughout the state. So that'll be another great conversation for us to be a part of. And I believe they're breaking this out in several different ways so that they can get the feedback. I'm not totally sure what's going to happen after this, but I'm really looking forward to the data that they can give us with respect to recommendations. But I do think they're working towards identifying agritourism at the state level. And then we're working towards specific outreach, as I had mentioned. And then we have our community event scheduled for March 4th. And lastly, happy to answer any questions or have discussion. And then I'm curious about, as we're working to determine what's the ideal level of engagement for the Planning Commission as we work through this project in 2025. Thank you.
Heather, thanks. You know, one of the things we heard an awful lot about during the 2024 were the site-specific proposals that have been kicked down the road. Mm-hmm. And I look at everything here, and one, rural housing person doesn't exist. Two, we're saying, well, we're going to let you comment and see what we're doing primarily in September. Just taking, for example, the Rainier proposal mm-hmm. outside of Kingston. We had a huge amount of testimony both for and against that, and it seems like maybe I'm not sure how that's going to come out to us. Are we going to get like we had before, proposal one, proposal two, proposal three? Are we going to have, here's what we think you should do? How do we interact with the public on how this site-specific process is working? Because that's what most of the concerns seem to be the people we saw.
That'll come up on the update, the 30% update in June. And I think at that point, if we need to adjust that level of engagement at that time with our first recommendation, that could be part of our recommendation, we'll determine that at that time. So we will present to you our conclusion. In the conclusion, it might be for a specific site, Rainier, the one that you mentioned. It could be determined more work needs to be done. Or we could have a recommendation, or we provide several scenarios and the impacts of those. And not only with that specific site, but how it impacts rural as a whole in our housing numbers, and then go back to our 2024 comp plan. You know, so yes, we will. That 30% update in June will be the beginning of what does that look like after that.
So in terms of what we tell the public is, mm-hmm. hey, there's outreach going on right now till March. But after that, you're really going to be waiting until September when something comes out before you get a look
another
at what's going on.
For the potential direction for the reclassification request is your concern. So are you proposing another round of engagements perhaps? Because I've thought about that too, perhaps in June, like specifically yeah. around the reclassification requests.
There was such a huge issue. My thought is, boy, it's never too early to get people saying, hey, here's kind of the issues. Let's make sure we've heard your comments before we
make it too
do
much.
The sense I think you would have as a public is, yeah, they kind of talked to us. Then they said, be quiet. We'll listen. We'll mm-hmm. come up with something. You'll see it in September as kind of a done deal, and then you can comment on it then. And so that's a concern that the public needs to have input on those things.
I think June would be that opportunity. So I'll relook at the opportunity for engagement. And it's hard because we can't, yeah, we don't have, we have a lot of work to do before we present those. So, yeah, I hope you understand, yeah, where I'm coming from, but I hear what you're saying at the same time. So I think June would be that opportunity. And it, there is, June isn't a conclusion, but is that milestone where we will be laying out these options. And I think what you're telling me, too, is you want to hear the it's not just about what you have to say, it's what the community thinks of it. Yep, and you want that opportunity to hear what the community thinks of it, to give me your feedback. I hear you. So let me rethink about what June and that can look like to make sure that we get that.
Perhaps you want to also put something out to the public that last year we didn't do any rural, we're now opening for rural, so that they've got notice that this is coming, rather than, oh, you didn't submit in June and this is September. So I would think some sort of a notice to say we're going to do rural reclassifications this year.
We're only addressing the deferrals, so it's not open.
Why?
Oh, that's a different question. That was a decision made because this was an extension from the 2024 comp plan. We asked the same questions and we went back and forth, and this is an extension of the 2024 comp plan.
A question. You mentioned rural code updates. When are we going to start digging into those?
Again, so it will be, several things are going to be happening parallel. And so as we're doing the gap analysis and the rural and resource lands analysis and doing our research and getting the feedback from folks, we'll be doing those, the code analysis at the same time. So the first time that you'll hear what potentially could happen will be in June.
Thank you.
Other questions?
I'll jump in. Thank you so much, Heather, for the presentation. Really enjoyed it and really excited to kick off this work. And I'm just thinking about what this conversation looks like a year from now and thinking, even when all this really great work has been done, what are the ways that we can continue, right? I think the essence of what the Year in the Rural is trying to encapsulate and really keep that thread going in our, you know, continued planning and those kind of things. So it's not just 1 year, right? It's continued throughout. And another thing for the commission to continue to consider, and I don't know if it has been said previously in our comprehensive planning efforts, but I'm thinking about how often when we talk about rural lands, where it's coming from a lens of like resource, right? How can we use it and kind of gain from it? But I'm also thinking about what about our innate connection, right, to our natural landscapes and spaces, and thinking about biodiversity, like biocultural conservation, and weaving in those threads that, you know, all these things that contribute to our overall health and well-being. And I think that for the chapter to kind of even start off in that kind of way would be really fantastic. So that's just one thing I wanted to throw out there, and just really being very specific when we talk about utilization, what are the various ways in which we interact, right, with our natural landscapes? And in that way, when we talk about natural environment, I would love us to get into discussion of what are those types of ecosystems that are here in Kitsap that we know, like, well, speaking for myself, that I love dearly. So, like, you know, shorelines and wetlands and creeks and our forest areas. And there's so much there that I think all of those ecosystems combined, and, you know, as they relate to one another and relate to how we find value with them, right, there's so much to be considered there that can help inform our planning, other kind of interventions that we would consider, and then kind of implementation. So that's just something I wanted to throw out. And then I just want to also thank you for starting up that community engagement process. That's fantastic that you have so many survey responses already. And kind of to the points I just brought up, I think I reviewed the survey myself and thought it was really great. And I also think there was a little bit of vagueness baked into it. So I would just encourage us to really encourage hearing like stories about these various concepts. So I think about there was a question there, you know, what is the main attraction of a more rural setting? So I think it was like nature and price and lifestyle, but I'm kind of left wondering, but what does that mean, you know, price of what and the lifestyle of what? So I think all of that, as we learn more throughout this process, just getting into those details is something I'm really excited for. So thank you for the work and the great work ahead.
Thank you.
Other comments?
I'm going to hop on what Adrian just said. She said that a lot better than what I was going to say. But just in addition to that, too, I'm probably going to look at it, too, with some of the rural, I live in an unincorporated rural area, and just kind of corridors for especially wildlife and how that works on our peninsula, which has a lot of critical areas. So that's, I guess that's, yeah, I'm going to be kind of looking at that. And there was something else I wanted to say, but it must not have been that important. So, but that was a very excellent presentation. I really appreciate what you put together there.
Thank you.
I forgot to mention, I also am curious how the planning department thinks about the balance between like rural and urban, and kind of how you approach not looking at those two things in a binary, but how there can also be intersectional like components that are beneficial to one another. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like to the urban environment, like linkages to care and kind of access to, I don't know, things that support your health, like healthcare settings and those kind of things. Whereas in the urban setting, right, benefiting from access to nutritional foods and, you know, just those kind of things. And so I think there's a lot of ways that they can intersect and be beneficial to another while also respecting how, you know, they're defined and community preference and those kind of things.
So I will say it's a neat opportunity in 2025 that we are, the long-range planning group is working on the Silverdale Regional Center sub-area plan at the same time. So I think looking at both of these and these two ends of the spectrum is going to be a part of that naturally, with it, which I think is really great. And I'm glad you brought it up. And I think when I was looking at the rural and resource lands chapter, I started to break it down just like the comp plan, but like a rural comp plan, you know. And so I think we're going to work to balance those. You're going to hear from Jim Rogers, my colleague, talking about Silverdale. But I think we're going to be conscious about that because the growth was projected, the significant growth for the 2024 comp plan was projected to be in the urban areas. And so how, and I think why all of these, you know, these resources and these other things are brought up in such a focus is that's the regulatory part. So, but I think to acknowledge what you said earlier, how can we ensure that we're celebrating the positive aspects of it rather than just looking at the right. So I think I hear you and I hope that we can use language that does that justice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair. Transportation impacts is something I'll also be looking at, especially, I guess, for me, with regards to any, like, some of the maybe larger site-specific ones, is just how that will impact the community, and is there capacity and such. Thank you.
Other comments? My turn. When I was looking at the rural comp plan, they refer to a Kitsap County Strategic Agricultural Plan and Inventory. Mm-hmm. The last one I can find was in August of 2011. You didn't mention that, but that program, going back and looking at that particular document, has lots of good recommendations in it. I would think that that might be part of your starting point is, what did we say in 2011? How are we different now? And is there anything that we should be bringing forward to this new one? And I think that should be included in your discussion.
I agree. And we just talked about that this morning with the ad hoc Agricultural Working Group Steering Committee. And that specific document is now on the project website. So we're starting with that one. And then the Conservation District also published another report in 2023 that also builds on. And so, yes, and what I was talking with the folks in our steering committee about is, yes, how can we, and also what we're working with that is what was accomplished and then what wasn't accomplished and what was the barriers. So absolutely, that's where we're starting. And then it was also mentioned as we were talking about that specific report, I don't think we should start this, you know, that we made, you know, we shouldn't have done it that way. I'm like, well, we need to acknowledge why it shouldn't have been done that way and how we should do it today. So we had a great conversation. Our meetings are 90 minutes, and we have great discussions. We've just gotten started, but that is the first step in what we're doing together with the ag community.
The other area that you might want to look at is what state laws have been passed here.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, there's a watershed restoration and an enhancement plan for WERA 15
mm-hmm.
that the Department of Ecology has so graciously given us. How does that fit into the rural planning that we do since they wrote it?
That's part of the gap analysis, and that specific plan is at the top in the appendix listing, you know, just the beginning of what I was aware of the gap analysis, where we have to look at these recently updated plans and ensure that we are aligned with them. So that one is at the top of the list, and that was based on a recommendation from Kirby, and that was based on recommendations in the comp plan chapter. Rural comments were brought up that related to watershed and water planning, and some of it was about private wells and was shifted to rural, so that was brought to the top early on and is recognized in the charter as part of the gap analysis process.
Can you publish on your website who's in your advisory steering committee?
For the agriculture?
For this plan. You've got a advisory committee.
Nope. The groups that I have formally is the Ad Hoc Agricultural Working Group Steering Committee.
I'll buy that.
Okay.
Can you publish that, the participants of that, on the website?
I can, yes.
One of the things that we were very successful at doing when we were doing the original Shoreline Master Plan and the early critical areas is we had those advisory committees like mm-hmm. that actually help in when getting the writing of the real documents. In the recent past, I didn't see that happening. I saw we make our comments, and that comments were comments. I like the concept of your ad hoc committee. I would recommend you use them liberally.
I agree, and I'm working to form several smaller, more unofficial ones. This one is official, as it was a directive from the board. There will be other smaller ones about specific topics that will be forming in a more informal way, and I completely agree that I would like to listen, and then I'm gathering names to add to these smaller groups from the rural comments and then from others who reach out to us, either directly or through the commissioners.
Just real quick, Heather, last year we used a consultant to do the gap analysis. And that we have a consultant this time again, or are you good? Okay, thank you. I'm very sensitive to the amount of work you already have on your plate with a reduced staff, and so you're going to be doing the gap analysis as well.
And we're working to keep it as finite as possible to say that these are the gap analysis that we did, and that's why I put the list that I had at hand, and some of it's carried over from the 2024, the gap analysis that was done for the comp plan. Some of that's carrying over because it applies to rural. Other things were brought to my attention, and it's going to be a finite list that this is what we did our gap analysis on. So we'll have to count on others, you know, once we publish that, did we miss anything? Oh, you know, and is it something that's simply outside of the scope of work for 2025?
Going on.
I would just note, if there's any opportunities to go for a field trip, I also think that could be very cool.
I love that. Good.
Seeing no further comments, we will close the briefing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was a very thorough brief. Next, we have an opportunity for Mr. Palmer to come back and talk to us. Mr. Palmer? Still can't hear you. Perhaps you can submit something in writing. Do I have any comments from the floor? Do I have any further comments? Okay, then we will close the general comment period, and for the good of the order.
Thank you, Chair, for allowing me a second to tell you about As well as this role, I also am a board supervisor for the Kitsap Conservation District. And for people who aren't aware of what the Conservation District does, it just does wonderful stuff. And they help private property owners in a non-regulatory fashion. I want to say that twice, just because a lot of people like it, because it's non-regulatory. So they help people do best management practices on their farms, on their residences, high urban areas. They do rain gardens, cisterns, farm plans, all sorts of awesome stuff. And they have a really good plant sale, which just closed for this year. But next year, get in early and order some Kinnikinnick. I also want to tell you that last year, they were awarded, our county was awarded, there's 45 conservation districts in the state, and we won first place last year. I think it was the first time we had ever done it. So big kudos, shout out to the conservation district staff and all those people who work year round doing great work. I just tonight want to bring to your attention that there's an election for board supervisors, and it's open to any people who live in Kitsap County and reside here. And you can just go to the website. It's kitsapcd.org/elections. And you can vote online. It just takes a few minutes. And you can vote through the February 28th. So please take part in that. And thanks for that, allowing me that time, Chair.
Sir.
Mr. Chair, I have a good of the order. So first of all, I just wanted to step back a moment and point out a couple of things with respect to the rural work plan. I think you're keenly tuned into just how much work this could take based on probably your experience with land use matters over history. Any one of these things could become really big in scale. And so we're trying to be very mindful of that. Rainier, for example, could consume us entirely. And so we've got to be very careful of how we approach that, and we need to take direction from the board on that, particularly the commissioner for that district. So I just want you to know that Rainier is a special animal. It's not typical of any other requests that we've gotten, and those other requests don't require the same kind of outreach and public scale meetings that we're otherwise talking about. So we'll be mindful of workload. We are still down one planner. We're hoping to interview for a planner here this week, so we'll see how that goes. With one planner down, that's 33% of our planning staff. So I just wanted to mention that. But what I really wanted to talk about is, with your permission, Mr. Chair, to talk about our meeting that we had last week with the chair.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, so we met last week, and it was the first of many meetings that we'll have with the chair in advance of meetings. Maybe not every meeting, but certainly ones that are of import. And what Alan had talked to us about is maybe there's some things we could do to help fill some time with meetings so that we're not just coming in for a 20-minute meeting or a 30-minute meeting. Maybe there could be opportunities to educate the Planning Commission and staff, as the case may be, about certain planning issues. So, for example, I think the first idea that Alan mentioned was, tell us about PSRC and KRCC and how they relate to the top-down planning approach that we've got in Kitsap County and in GMA counties and cities. So that's a great idea. We talked about advising the Planning Commission. Where are we with housing goals, and what do those metrics look like, and should we be doing more? And the same applies to climate change. What is it that we're being asked to do by the state, and how do we get there? So these are all good ideas. We'll come up with discrete items that we can talk about. And then the other thing that Alan mentioned is maybe we should try and have a meeting in Paulsboro once in a while at the City Hall there just to shake things up. I think that's a good idea. There are some challenges with doing that, particularly with the different system that they have, but we just did it with Arborwood, so we can do it again. And the other thing that I think Alan, that you wanted to know, and which we led with tonight, was what's the problem we're trying to solve? And then, is there a legal obligation that's associated with these programs? So wanted you to know that we heard you, and we're going to come up with some ideas. And if you guys can think of anything that you'd like to know more about, please email Clara, and we can work to get that on the list. anything at all. So let us know. Any questions for me?
No, I thought this was a wonderful presentation. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other comments? Any other comments from the audience? Hearing none, I call this meeting adjourned.